Well, my name's Christina, and I'm originally from Belarus. I moved to America when I was 9 years old, and it was a huge change for me going from poverty. My mom decided to bring us to America because she wanted to give us a better life, and America was known for the American dream. So when I was a kid, it went from very little to overindulgence, so to speak. So when my life pretty much took a drastic turn. And as a 9-year-old kid, I became very aware of my environment because I couldn't speak English when I moved. So for me, I just observed. I went from being a very social kid in Belarus to just being silent and paying attention and learning the language. And my home circumstances were not the greatest. The man my mom married was not the greatest. So I decided to submerge myself at 10 years old, and I started taking myself to a Christian church down the street because I wanted to model myself after people I wanted to be like. I did not want to be like my stepdad. I did not want to have any of his mannerisms or traits that he had. So I started going to church and wanted to be better for me, for my future, because I knew that my brain was developing at that time and I needed to put the right information in to help me grow and be better off in the future. And of course, when I grew up, I got married very early. I got married at 18. I moved to New York. I was pursuing a career in broadcast journalism, and that was very exciting because when I was younger, I was taking care of my brothers and sisters, and I made it a commitment that I'm going to focus on my career and be selfish and make an impact on the world. So I pursued broadcast journalism, and I was married at the time, and I was chasing political stories, and I wanted to expose the truth and do good for the world. And at the last part of my internship, I found out I was pregnant, and I was actually devastated. I thought my career is over, my life is over. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna be like my mom, taking care of kids. How did this happen to me? And then after I went to the doctors and they showed me the baby on the big screen and the heartbeat, and I just completely melted. And I'm like, okay, God wants me to pursue this, and this is the journey that that is right for me. And I'm so beyond grateful because my kids are such a huge part of my life and huge part of my why and what I do. And that was such a profound moment. From broadcast journalism to stopping my career. And then my husband at the time, we moved to Florida, back to Florida, because I went to Florida from Belarus, then I went to New York, and then I came back to Florida. And we started a dental practice because when we got married, he started dental school. So my mind has always been fascinated with business and how the expansion of business works. So I encouraged my husband at the time, let's start a dental practice so we can build a future of our own. And since then, I was already pregnant with my second son at the time, and we started our business, and within 2 years, it became a million plus producing business. We started with zero patients. We borrowed $500,000 to get it started and bought all this latest equipment. And now my marketing hat came on and I started marketing for patients. And it was a very challenging time, but laser focused. And I supervised, built out of a business, and then training staff, and learning how to do sales and giving treatment plans to patients and how to get them to understand their mouths and how to take care of them and how certain choices destroy your mouth. So 2 years after that, we've already finalized our divorce. And then I lost and Well, lost. I say, decided that it was not in my best interest to stay in that business with my ex-husband now. And I decided to pursue real estate because when I was a kid, I was always fascinated with Monopoly and acquiring properties and how all that works. And I came across Grant Cardone and I started studying him. And long story short, in that regard, I become very close with them and being mentored by them. And yeah, I sell real estate. I'm on Elena's eXp Realty team. So yeah, over the last 8 years of being in real estate, my career has been exploding very rapidly, and this year more so than ever.
Wow, I mean that's fascinating. Qu quite a few steps there and turns. Why do you think you originally went into journalism? What was a motivating factor for you to go into journalism at the start?
It was to uncover the truth. I thought that was a platform for people to have facts and information, because who else is going to fight for the truth if not the journalists that want the best for the world? And having studied in that field, I mean, communication and finding out facts and cross-referencing those facts was very important, which I feel like has lost a lot of its value with what's going on with social media, with the digital space, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. I mean, you're not into journalism anymore, but how do you think journalism has changed over the years? I mean, since you have been in it.
I remember sitting in class, and one of our professors was talking about how the internet is taking over and how we're going to see this massive shift. It wasn't at that time, it was early 2000s. And now, looking back, you know, having 20 years forward, seeing how much it has changed. I mean, everything is digital, information is faster. Sometimes people release information faster without checking it, without, you know, digesting it and seeing if this is even, you know, correct. And I think it's all about the viewership now. It's all about, even if the information's wrong, I feel like it is used to get attention and versus verifying. And the consumer loves it, you know, because they engage in it, whether it's positive or negative, they engage in it. And that's how the journalism field has evolved, right? So I'm grateful I'm not in it anymore, because it's just, yeah, it's definitely, there's better ways to make an impact than through being a reporter.
I mean, because I find myself get caught in it sometimes as well, and I think it can easily be overwhelming with all the information we have, this information overload we have. What information do you find helpful for yourself, or how do you evaluate what good information is for you now running your business or family or in anything you do?
I try to keep my head down right now. I don't really consume myself with a lot of external things unless they are pertaining to my world. Just to give you an example, right? We have on weekends, we run open houses. So I kind of pay attention to the weather, to make sure we will have a good turnout, that kind of thing. I really try not to look at the news very much. I really protect my orbit of what I allow. I mean, my own thoughts sometimes can be negative enough. I don't want any more. So, yeah, I really don't expose myself too much unless, like right now, we're paying attention to the Federal Reserve and the interest rates that are impacting our real estate field. So I'm paying attention to that, because I have to communicate that to our team, but also to our clients who rely on us for information and guidance in selling their homes. So,
And how long did you get into real estate?
I got into it a little over 8 years ago. But, you know, when we were building the dental practice, I was already kind of practicing because I was looking for a space for us to put a dental office in. And we have gone through a couple of leases that fell through, and I was leading the charge of that. So it was definitely 10 plus years now. So
So
probably more,
that's
probably 12.
okay.
Yeah.
And so 8 years ago, you got your real estate license as well, or your brokerage license.
Yep, correct.
Okay. And where did you then start at eXp Realty?
No, I started it with a different company. I was when we moved back to Florida from New York, I moved, we decided to settle in Boca Raton, Florida, just for the good schools and just more suburban lifestyle. It seemed like a very good community. And basically, yeah, like just to get, I got to know the community really well. And yeah, I just wanted to establish myself as a realtor there. And I got my license, joined Signature One, and just started taking bites out of the information and taking buyers out to look at properties. My goal was to figure out how a transaction was done from start to finish so I could master it. And I did not prospect very much because when I went through my divorce, a lot of people in Boca Raton knew me as now as an owner of a company to now just a realtor. And I did not like that very much because I felt like a realtor was like this dirty word. And I didn't want like it. I feel like people who fail out of a career, or at that time, this is how I thought, people that fail out of their career go into real estate because either they're an entrepreneurial mindset and they want to take a stab at it, and or just lazy people did real estate. And so it was just I had a bunch of different perceptions based on what people said about realtors. Oh, everybody is a realtor and their mother. And I didn't like that. I want it to be special. I want it to be unique. I want it to bring value. And until I developed my skill set, I didn't want anyone to know that, or anyone that knew me to know that I was doing real estate. So I didn't let anybody know, just a couple people. And then I started buying leads to try to sell some properties. And I wasn't really 100% serious about it. As much as I tried, but over 3 years, I've hired coaches, I've bought leads and done some deals, not to the level that I'm doing business now, of course, but it helped me understand over those 3 years, a good amount for me to make a decision on where I want to take my career.
And how many listings do you have now as a, in a typical year or a week?
So we take about 4 to 8 listings a month in this market. Post-COVID, it was like mining for diamonds because people were not selling their homes. People wanted their land, people wanted their space, and they were not selling. And buyers were begging for us. I had inventory at the time. We had, five to eight listings per season and per quarter, I should say. And buyers were begging for us to accept their offers. We would like the moment the listing hit the market post-COVID, we had like five offers per property. And now it's not the now is a completely different market. Now we have a lot more inventory and more buyers are on the sidelines waiting to see what's going to happen with the interest rate, what's going to happen with the new administration or with the election, I should say. So there's a lot of change happening in Florida. Our inventory in the whole state of Florida has gone up by 45%. It varies. Some markets are 20%, some are 25. So, but overall, about 45% our inventory has skyrocketed since last year, the same time. So we have more inventory and less buyers spending their money. And I believe that when the interest rates come down, which they will, they're anticipated to drop about 3 times, we're going to have more buyers step in and start shopping a lot more aggressively than they have been the last, I want to say, year.
I know this is more of a politics question, but does it matter if it's a Republican or Democrat for the real estate market, or what's the general take on that?
Well, usually whoever is in office, they typically want a lower interest rate, so they're favored at the polls. And currently, that administration, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but I think they're really trying to get a handle on inflation. So it's a really interesting situation. I think in the fall, we're definitely going to see interest rates reduced and more buyers step into the market.
And how many people do you have on your team at the moment?
I have 25 agents on my team, and on within Elena's whole scope, we have over 800.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what do you value in people? Like, how do you find the right people for your team? Because I think you can make a lot of mistakes picking wrong people and then you have to fire them. But how do you get the right people from the start?
That is such a great question, and it was such a learning curve for me because when I was with my other brokerage, I was on a team. I was on a team of 12 agents. And when I joined forces with Elena with our partnership, all of a sudden I became a team leader and had 34 agents on my team just within a year. It was massive. And we were on such a high of expansion. It was amazing, but there was a lot of responsibility that came through that. And as a leader myself, because what can I provide to my team and growing their own businesses? Because it's a huge responsibility because agents are not making money per hour. This is their own livelihood. So whatever they can close, that is their money that they live off of. And if people are not closing anything, you can imagine that there's bills that are not being paid. Food is not being able to be purchased, gas and whatnot. So there's a huge responsibility. And then what started to happen is I realized not everybody's meant for this industry. Not a lot of people are entrepreneurial, perhaps like myself, because perhaps they've never had their own business. I've had my own business and having understood how a business is run, how there's so much risk you take on, how you have to constantly brand and promote yourself and constantly be in front of people. That is an entrepreneurial mindset. So, for me, working with people now, I'm very, very, very careful who I bring on my team versus when we first started. I think I just wanted everybody. And now I want driven individuals who are focused, who know what they want, who are willing to do whatever it takes to get it, whatever it takes, meaning within, moral and ethics and
Legal,
integrity. Yeah, but like,
yeah.
and I was not willing to do whatever it takes in the beginning, right? Like I was, kind of dabbling in real estate. I was trying to figure out if I wanted to grow or how fast I wanted to grow. I just wanted to not put too much pressure on myself because I went through a difficult divorce. And now all I want is expansion, growth, production. I want to build. And it's powerful because when your mindset shifts like that, and sometimes people are just not ready for it when I meet them. So when I interview somebody, I ask them what their goals are. I ask them what they want to achieve within, the next couple of years. And then if they're asking me questions, that shows me that they're curious about growth. They're curious about learning. I'm also asking them if they're reading, because if they're not reading, I just already know that their future is not going to be very successful in real estate or any other entrepreneurial endeavor, because you do need to have that support system from authors and mentors that have gone through the struggle of building a business.
And what are your favorite books? Do you have any favorite books you like reading?
I do. Like my favorite besides the Bible, I read the Bible, but besides that one is I love reading David Goggins, just his hard mindset. I love Tim Grover, just how he trained Michael Jordan and just the stories and just how he talks about the cooler, closer and the cleaner, the three different types of people. And I strive to be more and more like the cleaner, the person that people run to when everything falls apart, right? If you really think about who is that person that that, if things were to just fall apart and go to hell, like who is it that you would call immediately to be like, hey, what's going on? What's the plan? You know what I mean? So I love books like that push you to the limits for your mind to not get lazy or stagnant. I love Grant's book. be obsessed or be average. Like that's like a staple for me because it just shows me how insane I am in the mind because, and I just have to constantly surround myself with like-minded people. And if I'm not able to have access to Grant, for example, I have his words and his, you know, audiobook that I can listen to that's talking to me and telling me to go for more, go for, you know, no excuses and keep pushing, keep going for your dreams. So those are a couple of examples I'm trying to think of. Let me just, you know, see if I forgot some, but those are kind of the recent ones. I go back to them often. I go to those books often because I don't like weakness within myself. And I really try to listen to those words and authors that talk about it. Let me see what else I have. The Art of Being Ruthless. That's another one that I really like. Really good book.
Okay.
Let me see.
Yeah, Break I'm just it trying down. To think because I think I have a book, I forgot what it's called. I think it's called Execution. So that's sort of along those lines, which I like a lot. You know, just talks about how, you know, you can do a lot of, in theory, but it really goes into how these founders we have to execute, you know, to get the things done. I think that's sort of along those lines.
Yeah.
And do you have any other books or?
Yeah, there's a book that really changed my mind about that I am not my past and I don't have to be my past. I can be anything that I want. And that's a book by Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. That was a very powerful book. I also love everything about that I can listen to from Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn was a very huge inspiration from, and then Tony Robbins, obviously. I've done some of his courses, so very powerful. I'm just scrolling down. I like Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights, was really good.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't. I think I've started reading that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are just a couple of examples.
And what do you think, going back to the research side of time, but what do you think makes a good salesperson? Like, or how do you train your people on the team to become good salespeople?
Well, every morning for the last 2.5 years, we've been doing Cardone University, studying Grant Cardone and his sales skills that he teaches. And the difference from, you know, showing up and watching those lessons is the difference is you have to go out there and practice it. If you're not practicing what you're learning, it doesn't matter if you've even watched it, because the goal is to go out there and practice it. Last year, for example, I've been watching the Cardone University in 2022, and we were going on listing appointments. And last year, every time I go on a listing appointment, I ask the questions that Grant teaches to convert to a yes. So I think application is extremely important.
Yeah.
Besides the training.
Yeah. And what do you think, because for the young people listening here, I mean, you've had, you know, multiple steps in your career. And I think a lot of young people are sometimes don't know what they want to do because maybe their parents say they have to go to college or, I mean, what's your opinion on college anyway? College and that kind of university.
I went to college. I didn't have anything bad about the college education. I definitely feel like you can get an equivalent of an education through how much information's out there. Of course, you want to verify information because I know a lot of people can also get scammed from it. And if you are planning to be a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer, you definitely need to go to college. I went to college. That was the American dream. Go to college, buy a house, you know, get a dog, get a fence, get a pool, garage, and all that. I did all that. I don't believe that you have to follow those guidelines. I believe that you can build a massive, you know, career without going to college. It just depends on your disciplines, daily disciplines, from how you wake up, how you manage your time. And of course, sometimes young people don't manage their time very well. And if that is a, you know, a problem, find a mentor and learn from them or go to college, because you will have to learn to go to class on your own versus going to high school and having, you know, a schedule there. So,
like, what are the habits you think people should for sure cut out of their lives, and what are the habits they should for sure implement?
I mean, if you're a young person and you want to have a easier life in your 40s and 50s, grind it out now. In your 20s, like grind it out. I tell my kids, like, work harder now so your life is easier later. Because, what I was building with my dental practice, right? Like, that was supposed to be our future for our family, and that didn't end up happening, and I had to start over. And which is fine, but if you're in your 20s and you're starting out, don't do the partying, don't go chasing girls, or girls don't chase guys. Like, I don't even know like what's happening with our culture anymore. It's just so confusing. And I want to keep my kids around like-minded kids who are purpose-driven, goal-driven. Like, be around people like that, and slowly you will start dropping your habits. Or you might not want to drop your habits. Maybe you have to go through that phase and learn how to build yourself up, because you don't want to have bad habits lingering. Or I don't know, you definitely want to be around people that are highly driven.
And the last question, how do you keep yourself driven? How do you keep yourself motivated?
I don't put myself in environments where I'm going to get distracted. And it's very easy for me to do because I have a very addictive personality. And if I'm not addicted to working, I will be addicted to, let's say, traveling, or spending time with my kids, or bad habits. Like, I love going to the movies. Like, to me, I used to go to the movies 3 times a week, and that was not a healthy habit. But I realized that going to the, why was I doing that? I was doing it to numb myself from the pain that I was trying to escape. And a lot of people have to realize, if there's pain and you're running from it to some sort of entertainment or numbing mechanism, you are not propelling your future forward. You are actually stagnant and preventing yourself from growing.
Well, it was a great chat. I really appreciate you coming on quickly. Maybe we can do it again in the future. That would be great. And
For having
I
me.
think people could learn a lot for sure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.